Aber Ari Tumin.
Good evening. Tonight, title of the Shir, Two Polystyrene Cups, Need a Hesher. Not talking about the flies that get stuck to the cup. There might be an issue, but the issue was first raised, first pointed out, as far as I know, by Rabbi Avraham Blumenkrantz, and he has a guide, big fat guide to the Chas Pesach, and it includes many other matters of Kashrus as well. So there he was the one who first pointed out that there may be issues of Kashrus with some of the ingredients which are used in the preparation of the styrofoam polystyrene cups. He later published, he didn't go into much detail there, and he later on published another article, letter, which is published in the Kuntros Oyisrol, where he specified more clearly what the concerns were and what the shailas were, and that prompted a number of responses in relation to the issues they had raised and various halachic issues. I just mentioned some of the issues, brought up some interesting halachic points. So the issues that he brought up were, it's now been published as a sefer. The Oyisrol and Kuntros have published a sefer, a collection of all the interesting items together, and all their letters are published together. So most of the information can be found there. So he brought up that in the making of the polystyrene cups, there are three possible things which might be an issue: the calcium stearate, zinc stearate, and glycerol monosoluate. These are used either in the resin, which is made up of the cup, or they're used as possibly as a release agent. That these items are used to, in order that when they prepare it in the mould, it doesn't stick to the mould, you can get it out of the mould, they use a zinc stearate or something. These items are animal-derived products, and therefore they present a kashrus issue. So, and he raised 4 points in the letter which he published. Now, you saw he presented 4 points to consider here. Number one is, do we consider these ingredients as something which is not, they're not really l'achila? There's an argument to put forward that before they're prepared, even before they go into the cup, they're not really l'achila. So now, one of the issues that he raises is that has to be considered. He didn't give a suck on it. He says, but in America, they have the FDA, the department that ensures everything meets the standards, which is it's a regulatory body which makes sure that food products are prepared to another standard, and one of the requirements is that anything that goes into a styrofoam cup has to be food grade. They have a level which is considered food grade, and they recognize that there is a transition of these products from the cup or from whatever product it is into the food, and therefore there's a requirement that it has to be food grade. So one of the questions that he raised is, can we say something is not considered fit? It's not royal, it's not fit for achila. When we know we're preparing it, it's going to end up in the food, and there's a standard which requires it to be food grade. That was one point that he raised. The other point that he raised is, the question is what amounts do actually constitute, if we go into these cups, how much in the cup, in the original product, is an issue, and how much of that from the cup does get transferred to the food? There's a very strong argument to say that we're talking about mamush minuscule amounts. We'll come back to that in a minute. But, l'chayra, even though we would say, if that is the case, so the issue is not an issue, because any product which would remain is would be bottled, b'shishim, b'meil, b'elef even, there's very minuscule amounts. Nonetheless, the question we have a principle of imabad in this l'chachila, that you're not allowed to invoke a bittul, a situation, you're not allowed to create a bittul, l'chachila. I beg your pardon? Between meaty or not? No, it's bottled. But the question is, are you allowed to go ahead and you use this cup knowing that anything that comes out is going to be bottled? Effectively, you've created a massive bittul. That was the second point that he raised. The third point that he raised is there's a Rashba. A Rashba which is brought in the Beis Yosef, and the Rashba there says that even though normally anything is bottled by Shishim, but where you put it in with intention for a certain particular purpose, that something is a required ingredient. I think, as far as I remember, the Rashba was talking about a medicinal purpose. You have a certain concoction which you prepare, and you pour in a very small amount of some trace ingredient, and that trace ingredient is required for the refuah. But it's a tiny amount, a very small amount, less than shishim. Says the Rashi, you can't say that as Bottle Bashishim. Where it's Ikori Lekach, that's its intended purpose, you put it in there for that purpose, so you can't consider that Bottle Bashishim. So the question is there a purpose here which we need these trefa items for, which would then say, ah, we've got the Rashi's principle, the Rashi's kalal, of something which is Ikori Lekach, where you want it for a particular purpose, it's not Bottle Bashishim. That was another point that you raised. Again, Dover Choshev or Dover Hamam, others to compare it to. And the fourth point that he raised was that the these questionable items go through a denaturalization process. They are raised to temperatures of 400 degrees Fahrenheit, and possibly, as far as to say, they're broken down, and therefore, even if they were considered us in the first place, they're now completely broken down, and therefore not considered Issa anymore. So those were the four points that he raised in this article. In the Pesach article, he raised another point, a general hashkafic point, is even if we say that it is mutter, there is a bittul, it's not a problem, and it's not considered ikor lekach, but nonetheless, is it proper to rely on bittul on a constant basis? It's another issue which is spoken about in the Poskim, and we'll explore some of these things a little bit. So, with regards to, so as I say, there was a response. A number of articles were written in response, and some of the questions were explored. It's not, again, these items are not necessarily cast in stone. There are different companies. Different companies prepare the products in different ways. And it seems that there were certain companies that did indeed use these products, although not necessarily all companies. Okay, and what was the nature of their usage? So again, it seems there were again conflicting reports, but there definitely was one company who wrote a letter, who wrote, "The additives perform a variety of functions. They are used to protect the plastic during the production of the finished goods. Finally, they act as an anti-static agent, keeping dust to collect on finished goods." So they do have some positive impact on the finished goods. So they wrote another articles. Generally, the approach was, we're going to work with a mahalach of bittul. As we said, the number of issues have been raised with the bittul here. And one, Eimu Vatan Nesel Lechachila. So with regards to the issue of Eimu Vatan Lechachila, there's a halach in Shulchan Aruch. Simen Tzadi Tessi, Yodei Simen Tzadi Tessi, Zayim. It's brought down that Kelim Shedakon Nishtamesh B'Shefa, you do not have to worry about something which had a blius is in it. You have a vessel, a kli, which is a large kli with relatively thin walls. It has problems of bias of issa. But you know that whenever you use this kli, you use it in large amounts, sufficient amounts that ensure that however, whenever you're cooking it, there's always going to be shishim in this pot. So now, set the Shulchan Aruch based on a Rashba, we don't have to worry about it. And you can use this kli on a regular basis because you know that every time you use the kli, you've got bittul. So it does. Although he takes strong exceptions to this ruling of the Ramah, he disagrees, at the end of the day, he disagrees with this ruling of the Ramah, but he explains what happened to Eimu Vatan Nesel Lechachila. So you're good, you know that you've always got Shishim, but I is the Kalim Vatan Nesel Lechachila. Says the Taz, no, that here's not from Eimu Vatan Nesel Lechachila, and this is what the Rashba means, because you're not doing it with intention to be Mevatlan Issa. You're doing it to use your pot the way you normally use your pot. You use a pot for cooking. You're cooking your food. It happens to be there was a problem in the pot. That problem will get sorted out mimela. Vatan Nesel Lechachila means, I've got Issa. I don't want to do it. You know what? I'll throw it into my cholent. I'll throw in a small amount. Maybe I'll throw a slightly bigger volume. A little shishim. You're okay. It's sorted. It's sorted out the Issa problem. I've got a problem with Issa. I don't know how to deal with it. I want to do something with Issa. So I put that. I'm out of that. But you're dying. And if you do that, be a daim. You do the amazing thinking, knowing that it's osa, that lachan shulchan aruch is that bittul is not affected. It's osa to eat it. It's a kenas. Pashas it becomes water, but it's a kenas. So if you do it with intention, the person you did it for, I don't allow to eat it. If you do it b'shoy, you'll be mutter. But where the intention wasn't to do bittul, the intention was just to use the pot in a normal way. Says the Taz, but I disagree with the whole basis of this lachan shulchan aruch. It's based on a Rashba. And the basis of the Rashba, when you talk about a case where talking about something which is yayin, which is going to be pogam, the substance matter. So where you have a double function, you have both bittul, both tam pogam, then the Taz said, okay, you can rely on this principle that you've got Klisha Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, and you have a bittul, that's okay. It means because even if I don't use shishim, we pogum, it might not be lechachila, but where I know that I've got shishim and pgam, then you can use this principle. But just as the Shulchan Aruch rules it, that you can use this kli and rely on shishim always, that's not sufficient. So, what's the halacha like? Is the halacha like the Taz, or is the halacha like the Shulchan Aruch? Do we allow a kli where I know it's always shishim, or not? So it's a big machlokes in the Achrayim, that many Achrayim, Pichodosh, wants to support the side of the Shulchan Aruch. Oh, but that's certain that even the Taz allows it where it's a tampogum. So here we have a question. You have an item which may have been pogum to start with. Before you start putting it into the food product, it might be pogum. Then, there's a question that may be, go through a process of denaturization. Generally, we don't rely on that in itself. And then when it comes out into the food, anyone who's used a polystyrene cup knows that it's certainly pogum the tam of the food. It doesn't improve the quality of the food. The fact that the FDA consider this food grade is not of interest to us. What's interest to us is, does the tam that comes out of this have a qualitative effect on the product, on the food that we're eating, or does it have a diminutive effect? Does it detract, or is it moisif? If it detracts from the overall taste, that's pogum the tam. Therefore, if you have shishim, and you have tam pogum, then we will certainly rely on it. What about the principle of ikoy lekach? Something which is there as a fundamental principle agreement, ingredient. So there the Rashba says, even if you have shishim, it doesn't help you. It's there for the purpose. So here's the point, which is very, 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 very correct. And that is as follows. There are two stages where you can discuss the bittul. In the original makeup of the cup, how much of the product was osa? In the original makeup of the cup, you'll discuss, there are those who say it's up to 2%. 2% obviously is over the borderline of shishim, it's 1/50. But assuming that the original makeup has a content of less than shishim, so then there'd be an argument to say the whole thing was bottled before you start. So then we'll say, 1 minute, you want to invattle the ingredients in the cup. So let's look at the cup. Does it have a positive effect on the cup or not? Is it there as an essential ingredient of this cup? Well then, it doesn't help you, says the Rashba. Even if you've got shishim, it doesn't help you. Incidentally, it's not so clear, we pass a night this Rashba as well. Because the Rashba is not brought in the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Pesachei Tshuva, B'Shem Denoidei B'Yehuda. Says the Pesachei Tshuva, B'Shem Denoidei B'Yehuda. Well, it's not brought in Shulchan Aruch. The Mogen Avraham in Hilchos Pesach does bring down the Rashba, and he asks a kasha on it, and he says, okay, even according to the Rashba, it's only drabonon. So now it says, the machloikus, the machloikus. Is the Rashba, this principle, Yikoy Lekach, other Yishim don't hold of it. Even according to the Rashba, it's drabonon, therefore it's a Sovek drabonon, therefore we don't have any mask for this Rashba Bechlal. And it becomes very relevant, especially in another discussion, in homeopathic medicines. Because homeopathic medicines are diluted and re-diluted and re-diluted and re-diluted. There's an original ingredient, let's say that original ingredient was treif. And it's put down, diluted. So if we go with the Rashba, right to the nth degree, so even though the critics of homeopathy say that in the final actual medicine, there isn't even a single molecule left of the original item, it's only the vibrations, the memories, whatever however it works. So, according to the Rashba, if you go strictly speaking, if the Kodak is put there for an essential person, it was never bottled. There was never any bittul. So that might have an effect on that. But there are other Gedolei Achrayim who learn not Na'im Yehuda, and they do take out the Rashba. But if we're talking about the second stage, when the transfer of tam from the cup into the food, so now, in the food, that's for sure, it's not ikoy lekach. Any tam which goes into the food isn't there as an essential ingredient of your food. You're having your coffee, you're having your tea, you're eating your food, whatever you're eating. So there, any tam that goes into the food isn't there as an essential ingredient of the food. Fakir, you don't want it in the food. Because it happens to go into the food, you have to make sure it's a food grade. Therefore, any tam which comes out, which is everyone agrees it's a mamash a minuscule amount, and the shayla is how it does come out. How does it come out into the food? Your coffee in a polystyrene cup. How do you look at that, halachically speaking? You've got your kettle, the klirishon. You pour it out. As you pour it out, it's an iri klirishon. Pours into the cup. Iri klirishon hits the cup. Iri klirishon takes out only a small amount. It takes out a clipper. And then it's in the cup. Is it a klisheni in the cup? Klisheni pashas meka din. is it hasn't got the chumras of being mitzi blias. Is a key styrofoam a key sheni? Is another discussion itself. Why? What's the difference between Risha and key sheni? Say the Rishainim. The key sheni has got an advantage of key sheni. Might be the same temperature as the key Rishon. Of a set of places, even if it's the same temperature, it's got the funnels and the carrots. The walls have not been heated up by the fire, and they act as a heat sink. They cool down, they take all the heat out of it, and they act as a heat sink. There's a heat flow which is going out of the water into the environment, taken out by the walls of the key. On a styrofoam cup, there's very little, the very little heat trap flow going out. There's very little defonnoi to makaros. Is that still halakhdi enough? V'yech lodum. About a kaponim, either way, it's a small amount. In the food that remains, is zikha not ikor lekach. Therefore, you definitely don't have the rashbo in the food. Now, what about the argument? Okay, so let's say it is a bottle. It is shishim. Let's say it is pogum. But is it proper to eat something which is in this battle, something which is tam or isa, something which might be betamtam halev, to act on that as a heta on a regular basis, day-to-day basis? Now there's a gan samaisa. It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. It's pasuk in Shulchan Aruch. There's a halacha that says, Siv Zayin. Musu Kenes, a behemoth which is in danger of dying, Avot Mishin Teres Meshkita, you're allowed to shecht it. The second before it dies, you go and you shecht the animal, and there's a simon, it twitches after the Shechita, you know that it was certainly alive in the last minute of Shechita. Muteres Meshkita. Hamadakdikim Samus Medakdik, Machmirim Alat Moshe Lachlo. It's proper not to eat it. Says the Ramon on that. Behemoth Shahir Bachochom Misvora. A behemoth which a Chochom Paskan Misvora. Beloy Nimsa Hadid Mefero Shehi Muteres, Bal Nefesh Lo Yechol Yimeno. A Baal Nefesh will not eat from something which has been paskin on Misvara, it's not Mafurash. Says the Pischei Tshuva on that halacha. It's a deal here in the Ramo. What about something which is Mafurash Heta? Something which is Seimich on Bittul, which is Mafurash Heta?
What's Bittul?
Bittul, yeah. Says the Pischei Tshuva, yeah. Something which is not mafurish, a Baal Nefesh should be machmi. Something which is mafurish a heta, a Baal Nefesh says the is a heta, don't have to be machmi, but a Baal Nefesh should be machmi. Says he then comments on, Shuvri Yisi, so that Hamincha brings the Tiris HaOshom, Mi Sherei Tzelahachmi, Linnik Issa Bedovo, Sheloimotinu Sheikh Miu Amiroi. You want to be machmir on something which we don't find any other Amiroi we ever machmir on. Keep going. Mashin is Batal B'Shishim. We don't find anyone in the Gemara who's ever machmir on as a Chumrah. Bittal B'Shishim. Aki Sheini. Have a Kamoy Apikorsus. V'yotzo Schor Behesed. Udeloi Kamoy Kosus Eheta. So Shai Apikorsus. You want to take something which the Torah says is Mutter, it's this battle. It's a Mavurin. We don't find anyone ever machmir on that. And no, that's not good enough for me. Tindu Malay. You know, I was ever machmir on that or something. I just read out to you, and the truth is for a more, I can't go into the whole context now, talking about pots which was smeared with chazafat, he had the machlokes with the shoyl, and he wants to be matter it. He said, you want to be machmir atzmoy? It's muto. You want to be machmir atzmoy? No? Da'ilecha ma'ashra shoteira. It's enough for the Torah acid. Why are you coming to ask more things? Chezkel was machmir not to eat bosa shoyr b'chocham. Ain't a demon and didn't be done. Shaminik poshet b'chol Yisrael lo'ochloi. Lest the choshbei. This is something which everyone eats in Kal Yisrael. No one's machmir on it. So that's nothing to do with Shari b'chochom. Le'idomin le'Moshe Rabbeinu. She'le'irotz aleinim enochis. Everyone knows Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to eat the milk from a goat that even has mutter. Why? Because Pesach was about Hashkina and we learn out from that. So he says the Ramah, there's no demon to that. The Harei Apa, the Reisenu, he can compete with Dovah, Kamesh Kosaran. This is something which is Machmed on, but the Reisenu. So something which is Noyege Heta, doesn't have the din, which the Heta is not what says the Ramah, you don't have the din of Basra Hirva Chacham, you don't have the din of Moshe Rabbeinu, Lekach Lodati, HaMachmed Dovazeh, Inim Inad Mimim Din. Just finish off, well known, the Bnei Yisoscha brings from the Shloh, Bnei Yisoscha himself says, that Faket, something which is Nisarav Beheta, and Israel is Arav Beheta, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Nisarav the situation should come out, there should be open ahead like that, faket. There's an inyan davka to go ahead and eat it and be madder than Nitzotzus, and faket. It's eino mina mitzvos hachasidus to be maneuver from that. So I got upon him, so we've discussed a few issues, we discussed the eimat nitzvah chila, we've discussed ikor lekach, we've discussed ham pogum, and we've discussed the shayla boshar hevachochom, when you should be machme and when you shouldn't be machme.
I don't know about Shefa.